Welcome to the Spit Happens podcast, where the topics are real, the discussions are real, and how there is real hope.
Hey there, it's Tim.
And Brandon.
And this is the Spit Happens podcast. Looking at what, episode 7? 8? Seven?
It's been a long time.
It's been a while.
Shouldn't have left you. That a dope.
What?
That's a song.
Oh, all right. I didn't catch it. Yeah, it's been a crazy time. It's been like a month.
Yeah.
Since we did our last episode. Wanted to start off though tonight. Really kind of, you know, thoughts and prayers and things with Paris, with France and the people there and those affected by the tragedies that unfolded. It was, what, about 3 days ago on Friday.
Yeah.
So definitely there, because we had left off in that last episode with a question that you'd asked me. It was, should we police the world or should we be involved as Americans, as our nation involved? And I think the answer still, you know, is yes. And then you look at these type of attacks and things, and it's yes. And, you know, it's, you know, when we fought for our independence, it was France there fighting with us and gave us a Statue of Liberty. And now it's, you know, it's one of those things. It's essentially, I guess, you return that favor or whatever, not really returning a favor, but that standing by, you know, an ally or standing with one another. But, you know, these guys are, that are out there, that are doing what they're doing, man, I mean, they're nothing but evil. And we got the capabilities to fight evil. I mean, yeah, we're supposed to go with love and compassion, but at a point you can't keep letting innocents be slaughtered. And if you can stop it, then by all means we should stop it.
Yeah, that's really, my question, I think, was more along the lines of how do we as Christians think about just military missions and the whole endeavor of a military, just a military power, and how do we fit into that, like, as far as reconciling what Jesus talks about as the way in which you are to conduct your life, and then bringing in what you would have to do as a soldier into the mix. Like, how would you reconcile that? Which we don't necessarily have to get into, but that was really where I was getting from, or getting into with that question, I believe, although it was like a month ago, so I could be
wrong. Yeah, we really probably should have gone back and listened to the end of that. I remember.
I'm pretty sure that was what.
Okay. Well, I had a chaplain, because I was torn on that. I didn't know, you know, I was just completely lost. So I went to the chaplain, was speaking with him, and he had told me this a little bit, and he said, you have a mission. And then you have a mission from God, and then you have a mission from your commander. You pray before you go on mission, and if you have a chance to pray during it, then you pray during it, then you pray after it. But while you're doing the mission, you better complete the mission, you know, because otherwise people die and you've got a job to do. But I guess the emphasis on prayer and staying connected to God. So,
yeah, I get that. It's more so, like, here's where I'm at. As a government, as a country, I see that there's like this pervasive idea that the government is supposed to protect its citizens, right? Like, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, that's the point. I mean, the government should protect the citizens and protect the foundation of the nation.
The question becomes then, is it right for a follower of Jesus to be in the military, to be able to perform his duty legitimately, because in that regard he's under the umbrella of the government, right? Like that's he's acting as an agent of the government.
Right. Well, right. So I guess also in those characteristics of it too, if we look through a way that, you know, in scripture it defines our leaders, is that they should be is they're appointed by God. Well, that's
the leaders, yeah.
The leaders who would be appointed by God. So if they were following true, which obviously we know how politics go and how politicians are, but
mm-hmm.
So which
that gives us a lot of things to think about, though.
Yeah, it does. It
kind of a different conversation than this, but
definitely
it's still connected.
Yeah, so I think when you look at that with going to another nation, I mean, you look back. I mean, through all the history, I mean, you know, we talked a little bit this morning, you know, with the Roman Empire. You go back through all of history. There's been so much savagery. And you look back to the Crusades and just the constant battle through Babylon and the battles through Jerusalem. And, I mean, you look at it all. And if you go back to the Old Testament, you know, and the way that God waged war and led armies.
Yep, holy war, yep.
You know, the scriptures have been making the hands swift and you know, and there's many references to war. And then when it comes in and Christ as a savior, I mean, it is. It becomes so, because I think also as a Christian, you could easily go through the text and go through the Old Testament and find yourself a justification if you were to leave Jesus out of the picture and go back and read through the Old Testament and find a justification to be like, okay, look, the scripture says I can do this. But then if you could easily, you know, but you're forgetting the aspect of, well, what is the New Testament? What is
not even your acceptance
as well?
You don't even have to go to the, like, what the distinction between Old Testament and New Testament. You have to look at why, what were the wars for in the Old Testament? You know, God was protecting his nation of people, which was gonna be the vehicle for the Messiah. So he was in a conquest, so to speak, of destroying other nations who were idolaters, you know, worshiping different idols and stuff. And so getting rid of those would allow for his people to stay pure. And it's really, like, honestly, doesn't like just reconcile it so right. easily. But
what would you say now that with what's going on, that it we're once again in a global holy war?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
And it's not necessarily so that it's all against Christians, but it's anybody that yeah. is not of Islam or radical Islam.
Yeah.
So then it's fighting against one singular group mm-hmm. who are radicalized.
Yeah, like that's the thing. There's a tension in there. And we talked about that this morning, too. Like, there's yeah. truth in the tension. Because you look at what, you know, ISIS is doing, and it clearly is evil. And it yeah. clearly is against what God would want. So how is he going to respond? For me, like, as Jesus followers, I'm thinking to myself, okay, would God want me to desire for them to be destroyed or saved? And that's where the rub comes in for me is, yes, I understand that probably a lot of them, most of them, are never going to come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. And they're going to continue to wage war against, you know, everyone except for it, their own, you know, followers. What is God's will to destroy them or to save them?
And you say they're followers, to clarify, because ISIS, it's not even a radical Islam. It's a fundamentalism of what their group is that really drives them.
They are radical Islam.
They are, but they're also, it's almost like they have something completely separate within itself.
Oh, yeah.
Islam. It's just unbelievable.
there's even within radical Islam, then there's still distinctions and factions and stuff. Obviously, yeah. You got Al Qaeda is different from ISIS and all the whole other Muslim Brotherhood and all the other ones. They are different for sure.
Yeah, that stuff. It's just such a tough question. I also look at the same thing too, where you look at when it happens here in the States and they, you know, ask you, are you a Christian? And then they shoot you. You know, it's one of those things where I look at it is if, you know, you're seeing that happen. It's like, for me, like who I am, I'm not going to sit there and say, yeah, I'm a Christian and let you shoot me. I'm going to say, yes, I'm a Christian, swinging. You know, like I'm going to, because, and it's not because of, you shouldn't combat evil with evil, but also shouldn't allow innocence to be murdered. You have to protect innocence. And if you're allowing innocence, whether it's children and women, you know, or just people who are unable, because a lot of what these ISIS, these sects are doing is they're not even just ISIS either, but also in Africa and in India, they come after the weakest people they possibly can get that can't move quick and everything else. So at that point, is it about being or doing something that is evil versus protecting the innocents?
Well, and I get that. I get that thought and that, and I respect that. I just don't know that it's biblical.
And it may not be biblical. It very well may not be.
That's
biblical.
What I'm saying. Like, in all practical purposes and all practical thinking, that makes sense. We should protect the innocent. But when I look at scripture, I don't see, like, would I do that? Like, would I try to make it to where my family doesn't get killed? Absolutely.
Right.
That doesn't mean that's what I'm supposed to do.
Right.
I know that there's probably going to be a lot of people who would listen to this and say, well, of course you're supposed to protect your family. And I totally understand that. But I'm just trying to understand, okay, you can say that, but to make a biblical case for it is a whole other thing.
Yeah, I don't think it's one of these circumstances where you can make a biblical case for it. But what you
can make a biblical case against it, though.
Oh yeah, you can make it, and then the response is simply as
whether or not you're going to follow it.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's whether or not you're going to follow it. But that's the thing that you look at it is in combating evil. I guess that's the thing, combating evil. Is it right? Absolutely, it's right.
But on what basis?
Right.
Like, whose responsibility is it? Because when I read scripture, it looks to be God's responsibility to bring about justice against those who are evil. And our job is to, this crazy four-letter word, love, which is ridiculous.
Right.
But that's what we're called to, which that's what I get. That's what I'm getting at.
So you can show them tough tension. Love.
Yeah, I'm gonna kill you.
Doesn't necessarily always mean killing. You know, because I mean, if you have the opportunity, the first opportunity you go at is not to murder or to kill, but sometimes you know that may be the only option that is left. But it's almost, I don't know, because I'm not saying justifying murder or killing in any sense.
But you see that there's a tension between our American idealism and Christianity.
Well, I don't even think it's just not even American idealism. I think it's human nature in general to
especially our American idealism, especially like the idea that we're the moral police of the world and the way in which we
Well, I think lately the rest of the world is showing us.
True. But the way in which we enforce that is through force. That's how we roll.
Yeah.
That's how we roll. So I'm going to combat evil with evil. And when it's all said and done. So I'm not trying to have this conversation to come up with some, like, you know, 5-point.
Oh, I mean, there is
kind of thing.
This is something.
But that's the tension.
Yeah, and it's a tension that will never end. And it will be a constant tension.
I'm just trying to get past. Existence. what's the American Christian thing? And I'm trying to get past the whole American part and get to, okay, if I were just following Jesus, what would that look like? Because I don't care about anything else. We talked about in 2 Timothy chapter 2, which was last week. You didn't come because you were finishing up your house because you guys have been crazy busy.
Yeah, unbelievably busy.
But Paul tells Timothy to be a good soldier of Christ Jesus and join with him in suffering. And a good soldier is one who is going to be focused on his commander's orders. So, like, for me, that's what I'm about. I'm trying to be about his orders, not about any of this other fluffy crap. And, you know, I'm engaged in politics, but that doesn't mean I'm on board with all of the, the political parties' views on things and how they understand how things should be or whatever. I'm trying to get past the static, right?
Right.
The noise. And that may sound idealistic, but to me, that's what we're supposed to do.
Well, yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, even when you look at where it's the Pledge of Allegiance, I mean, everything is when you're pledging allegiance to America, it says straight in, everything is under God. So in the pledge and everything, God comes before, that it's all under God. You know, so we're pledging allegiance and all that, it's all, so, and I think that's the thing that's been lost unbelievably fast over the past 10 years is the fact that God is the head of this nation.
What does that look like, though? Because we have the freedom of religion. Like, people can worship whatever they want to.
Right.
So are we really a nation under God? Like, what would that even look like? I don't even know. I don't even know that we've ever had that. I think it's an idea, which was cool.
Well, when you look, I mean, if you look back, at, you know, especially during, revolution and other things, the nation wasn't as intricate as it is now. It wasn't, you know, actually, I mean, I would say it was probably more intricate because of how they had to do things, but it wasn't as vast and it wasn't as spread out and it wasn't as multicultural and it wasn't the way. So,
right.
In the way that they, when this nation was founded and the way it was founded, they all had simple principles and ideas and, and you had a job to do. You did your job on Sunday. You went to church and the country was shut down on Sundays. And it was like that all the way up until probably the past 20 years, 25 years that it started changing where it slowly became where Sunday
probably
around
mornings. The '60s, I would say it probably started to change a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean the real big, like the light switch was just like turned.
Right.
And as all that has happened and a lot of that's got to do with the digital age, but that's where it's kind of lost. It's not that simplified way of life of, got a job to do, I do my job, and on Sundays I worship, and then throughout the week, and you speak, and then the neighborhood, like, the pastor of the church is the central figure in the neighborhood, like, that's who they go to, that's their council minister, it's a best friend, come over for dinner, everybody, like, that, like, things were much different.
I mean, oftentimes the pastor was the guy who had the college degree, and no one else really did.
Yeah, I mean, it was totally different. Yeah, it was different, and now it's...
He would be on the same status as like a doctor.
Right. Yeah.
In the society or whatever.
And now it's the almighty dollar that is the top of the nation. That's what runs the nation. It's got nothing to do with any person that's in power. It's the dollar.
Yep.
The dollar is what drives the nation. And that's the big thing. But when you look back at it all as a Christian, as an American, as a veteran, looking at all that, it's an unbelievable struggle to look at that. Because for those that were in the military, if you're listening to everything, you understand it. But when you're in the military, that you see, you hear things, and you experience things that are just vulgar. It's a different way of life.
Oh, yeah.
But it's also like it kind of has to be that way because otherwise you become sensitized or whatever, you know, and you just become distracted.
Mm-hmm.
From what you got to do, because the jobs that are necessary to get done, you have to be on edge all the time.
Oh, I know, and that's
so that battle.
That's why I'm getting it.
Yeah, and that battle of it, but it's one of those things. That's why the chaplain, like if you, I mean, if you don't know, chaplains are not allowed to carry weapons. in the military, but they have a chaplain's assistant. And, and I had thought about knowing that for a while, but a chaplain's assistant basically handles everything kind of like an associate pastor, but they are also the guard for the chaplain. And, and so it's a little different. Chaplains are not combative.
Military. And chaplains also, though, in the military have to be ready to counsel someone in whatever religion that person's in.
Yeah.
It's not like you have a Christian counselor. Or, I mean, the guy or girl, whatever, I'm assuming it's just guys. I don't know if they've opened that up, but...
I don't think so.
You know, the chaplain can still be, like, a Christian, but can't, like... He'd have to be ready to be, like, chaplain someone... Right. In the faith of a Muslim or Hindu
and they,
or whatever.
I think they've slowly started integrating others into
right.
the military.
I mean, but it's like a very open kind of thing.
When it comes to religion in the military, it's a totally different, it's a different animal altogether. But they do a very good job of accepting it and allowing the practice of how you believe and really trying to support it. It's done very well, but it's just one of those things, like, it is treated, I mean, it's just, it's so non-combat when it comes to your faith. It's really kind of strange how it kind of changes whenever it comes time to worship, or, it's a big difference.
Well, we, oftentimes, I'm assuming we would have to compartmentalize that aspect of our lives to be able to get through the way of life in which we're
in. I think when to be a Christian in the military, you literally live your entire life in a constant state of seeking forgiveness, because what you're doing on a daily basis goes against your faith. And most aspects, and probably 90% of the aspects goes against it. But, I mean, it's just constantly, and it's tough, and you get lost so many times. But
and that, I think it's so interesting that you just said that, and that's what I've been getting at. But I've been very curious as to how that works in someone's mind. Because for me, you know, I I've, like, slowly gotten to this kind of a conclusion. But I probably wouldn't be good with joining the military because of the things in which I would be asked to do. Not that I'm not okay with doing, like, okay, here's what I'm saying. My faith, in my mind, would make it so that I wouldn't be able to do what they would ask me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And still hold true to that. But I'm not questioning someone's heart who is doing those things, like in the military, is a Christian and is trying to follow God with their heart. I'm not questioning their heart. I'm just saying for me, and I'm not trying to say that truth is subjective or anything that way.
Right.
But there's been a big check in my conscience as far as, like, how do I think about these things, especially like when I was a student pastor. And, you know, having some, you know, high school students, right? Like, joining the military. And, like, what do I think about that? Or, like, what kind of conversations would I think to be come up with? Because we honor, in the church, we honor people in the military. And I totally understand that. And I get that. And I do, too. But this is the conversation that no one is having.
Right. Well, the big thing about that conversation, if there is any pastor that's listening that maybe has the same type of situations happen, if I can give any little, I don't think we really do advice on this podcast, but if I can give any little tidbit of advice, is that constant state of forgiveness is the big thing, the big question, big topic or discussion that would need to be had is, not only do you have to be willing to pay possibly the ultimate price of your life, and constant sacrifices on a daily basis, but you also have to be willing to pay the sacrifice of standing before your Creator and accepting the judgment of which is laid down for what you had to do in order to live out your military career or to protect the nation. And so when you go to that, be ready to pay for whatever it is through judgment, the Creator for what you've done. I mean, it is something that a young Christian won't ever understand, yeah. Period. So a kid that's coming out of high school grand will never understand it. And I didn't understand it. And I actually really didn't understand it until I got out.
Yeah.
When I was able to actually really, when God reeled me back in towards the ministry and towards doing more, that I finally started to really get it. But it's, and I understand I'm, that forgiveness and what that means, but there's, you know, and living that path and that career, doing the things, getting caught up in lust, or doing whatever, all that's got to be paid for in the end. And I'm prepared to stand in front of the Maker and pay for that, and I'm going to have to. But that is the sacrifice that I guess I'm willing to make in order to make sure people conduct themselves.
Yeah,
at night. It sucks, but you got to. Somebody's got to do it, I guess, you know. And,
well, I would also say, in light of this whole conversation, God's grace is still greater than anything else.
Right.
And so judgment is not going to be in Christ. Sins are forgiven. Doesn't mean stuff won't be brought up. like, hey man, what about this thing? And I think it's interesting about the judgment day. I think God's going to bring up a lot of stuff about our lives. But I think it's going to be in the context of, you've done all these things, but I'm still forgiving you. And you're going to be like, wow. That's how we're going to be, right? Like a sense of gratitude, just pure gratitude that he would still, like, he knows everything that we've done wrong, and yet he's still willing and able to forgive us.
So he's
because the sacrifice of Jesus was sufficient.
Right. So I guess that you'd say it'd be like a facepalm and a bear hug?
Yeah. There you go. Like, I love you, bro, but
come
here.
Come on. Really? Now come here. Hug it out.
Yeah, I really appreciate your transparency, because I really think that this is a conversation that I've been wanting to have with just anyone who's willing to have the conversation. I get freaked out about it, because it's a conversation that people aren't having, and I think it's healthy to actually talk about it.
Yeah.
Because I think it's the elephant in the room, especially like Veterans Day kinds of times, and you know, all those things.
Oh, it is. I mean, it definitely is, and for those veterans that don't still, like, maybe you become a Christian, you give your life after you serve or during, or you still don't understand, but it's another one of those things, I think, that needs to be discussed more. Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know, there's support or whatever, because, you know, there's a lot of veteran support out there, but you don't see a lot of veteran Christian councils or support groups, you know what I mean? There's not... Yeah. You don't see that on like larger scales,
but it's
because it's such, because they don't mix, the two worlds don't mix, being a follower of Jesus, and being a soldier in a combative military, they don't mix on their principles.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they mix ultimately because of how it functions, but on principle, they don't. And one of the things, too, I was listening this morning, you're talking about 2 Timothy and with the commanders and how relaying it. There is one thing that is different, and one massive difference between military following orders from a commander and Christians following order from our commander, and that in the military, if the orders given by the commander would cause due harm, and are so basically ridiculous that they shouldn't be followed, then you ignore the order.
Right.
So there's with Jesus as our general and God as our commander in chief, like there is no order to be disobeyed.
Mm.
So there's a big difference there. So I don't know. It lays heavy, and it's something I always struggled. And I mean, it's also like there's another hot topic one that, and I've had this discussion a little bit within my family, but like, Judaism and versus Christianity, because the family is. I've got a family that's Jewish, that's Christian, that's atheist, agnostic, that's Catholic. Mm-hmm. So it's very out there.
Right.
But that question, though, is watching without a belief in Christ as a savior. And that's another one. And it's an odd one to talk about a little bit. But, I mean, it's amazing, though, those different buttons. I'm not really going anywhere with that. It would be a different discussion for another time. But it's similar to that almost, you know, because there's no real, like, how do you approach it? I mean, you can make a biblical stance for against it, but you can't make one really to defend it. So it's just another. There's so many.
What do you mean? Like, we don't have to go into depth.
Well, just the principle of Christ as a savior versus he isn't. So when you look at,
like, Jews like denying that Jesus is the right savior, is
that what and
you're
then saying? Yeah, and then, you know, Christians, and then having that within one family.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's what I mean. Like, but there's you know, so it's tough. But that's one of those things that's where God's so amazing, because he keeps us so together if we just follow.
And yeah. You know? I mean, at the same time, he said, I'll rise up daughter against mother, son against father. And it's because of those differences, right?
Right.
Like, they're, for a first century Jewish family, for them to follow Christ, I mean, that was, they're losing everything. I mean, they're losing their whole family.
Right.
And that's what they see in, like, Africa, or in Muslim nations. You're going to follow Jesus, you're done. You're like, you lose everything. You know, it's not like you just lose some friends. You lose your whole,
you literally give up your entire life as you know it.
Yeah, everything. There's a guy in our in seminary. He grew up Muslim. Read some stuff about Jesus in the Quran, like we talked about last episode, I think it was. And he became a follower of Jesus, and he started writing about Christianity and stuff in his hometown, or in his, like, home nation or whatever.
Mm.
And he got persecuted so much that he had to flee the whole country. And he's in America now. And it was because of, like, he lost everything. But, so, like, you know, it's just crazy to me, in other cultures, how much people are willing to give up to follow Jesus. Because it's more of a biblical kind of thing, like, just leave everything and follow him.
Right.
Whereas for us, you know, a lot of times we have to give up a whole lot, you know.
Yeah. Just give up a few things here or there.
Right. Yeah. A couple bucks for the offering plate. And
just a couple, though.
Right.
No more than two, like, or three.
Yeah. $2 bill, you know, every now and again. Yeah.
Silver dollar.
But I really do appreciate your willingness to have that conversation, because, you know, like I said, I don't think it's a... I think it's a conversation that needs to be had more often, in a civil kind of way.
Oh, yeah.
Because I can only imagine how many people I could really upset with asking these kinds of questions.
Yeah. I think yes, and then also I think you might come to find is how many people that actually have been waiting to have it.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Because it's just, you know, it's just sometimes... You'll be amazed at what's just been sitting and stewing inside of someone.
Yeah.
You know, but that's a big thing out there, not just whether it's veterans or other religions, but also just in other jobs, like, you know, whether you're in the sciences or anything else, you know, you're bad. It's like you have what you enjoy or what you do and what you know and what your knowledge base is, but then you have what your faith is, and it's just... Walking that tightrope is just, it's an unbelievable burden to have in your life. And finding a way to balance the two is, it definitely opens the door for a certain loser to creep in, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But finding ways and people and opportunities to discuss it and talk and get with the right people and keep encouragement and good people around you, that's definitely a good way to close that door and just kind of get more focus. But yeah, I'm glad we talked about that. That wasn't really the plan or the direction for this podcast, really, at all. We got deep and heavy. I'm going to lighten that up a bit.
Yeah. So you guys just moved, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're done now. Like, yes. Tomorrow is your inspection.
Yeah, it's our inspection.
You got to get a full body inspection.
Oh, man. No, I just had that Friday. I had my year physical.
Oh, that sucks.
I'm good. Yeah, all the test results came back good, though. I'm still a man.
All right, Bruce. Oops, did I just do that?
Uh-oh. Ooh.
That'd be another conversation.
Can we rewind? Rewind, record. Yeah. Re-record? Record over?
We'll probably not remember to edit that out.
Yeah, that's okay. We moved. We bought a house and closed 2 weeks ago. We moved, last week.
Wow. Yeah,
last Feels like weekend. 2 weeks ago. Yeah, last weekend we moved last Saturday, so we moved a week ago, and we're leasing another place, so that lease runs out today at midnight, and we, finally gonna end that chapter. It's a great, so excited. That's one we needed to end and move on, so we bought a house, and it's amazing. Love it already loving it. Put it to use tonight as a studio, and working on some production for BKL.
Yep. Was it TA Productions?
TA Productions. I'm like trademark. You take it or somebody else has it. I'm taking it from you.
TA Productions and BKL present.
Yeah.
An epic spoken word
track.
It's going to be awesome. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
So really you'll have to be looking for that. I don't know when we're going to release it, but it's in the production stages.
Yes. Yes.
It's going to be done well.
It's written. The music's there. Now it's all about getting it produced well.
Yep.
And edited and all that good stuff.
Yeah. So it'll be an audio track and a video eventually too.
Yeah.
So it'll be pretty good.
It's going to be real good.
And we'll post the video to the website whenever it gets up. At spithappenspodcast.com.
For sure. And then we also got something else doing out there, sitting out waiting in review.
Yeah.
So that book that we kept talking about in other podcasts is finally going through some channels.
It's amazing what you do when you get rid of something that was hindering your ability to do the things in which you were wanting to do. I'm no longer in seminary. I just withdrew from a couple of the classes I had just because, long story, but I did that, and in the last couple of weeks, during the time where I would normally have to do homework, got done with my book proposal and sample chapters, sent that into a publisher, and it's in the review process right now, so hopefully I get to hear in the next week or two whether or not they're going to try and publish that book. If not, then I'll have to look at other publishers, and if, you know, the publishing industry has gotten even more competitive with the internet the way it is now, so I can always self-publish if I have to, but it should be pretty exciting if I'm able to get a book deal with a publisher, because especially the first time, you know, be able to walk through the process.
It'd be really good, for sure.
It would.
So as you can see, Brandon wasn't the reason we've been in hiatus, because he freed up his time. It was me, so wait.
Well, this isn't confession time. You're okay.
No, that was all right. No, I will say, you said it's like the weight's been lifted. You got that away, that consuming time, and I heed a warning. So we bought this house and we didn't use realtors. So I was doing all the realtor negotiation there.
Now his brain is free now.
It's so awful. I went through and counted. So in a month and a half throughout the buying process, now this is sent and received. It was 364 emails and 55 phone calls.
He's also going to be becoming a realtor here
soon. No, I will not. Not only that, the licensing process, I don't even want to deal with all that. So, but we got it done. And oh, man.
Yeah. So do you recommend someone else do that?
I highly recommend. Well, it depends. If you're like me and you don't, you're okay with kind of managing the business of things, then it's okay because you save a lot of money. But if you don't care about saving that money and get it wrapped up and everything, then by all means, go ahead and do it. Because
it's definitely not the convenient way to go.
Oh, no. It's the hard way to go, but it was the right way to go.
Yeah. Well, you're going to be managing the business side of TA Productions here soon. So
something.
Making you some extra money.
Oh, other fun little tidbit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got in a car accident, too.
Oh, yeah.
The day before we closed on the house.
How's the neck doing?
It hurts. I keep turning and looking at you. It's like, I got a little bit of a nerve issue and whiplash. I was on my way into work. It was like 7 in the morning, and I was stopped in traffic on the highway. I mean, I wasn't moving at all. Look in the mirror, watch the guy behind me, looking down. He looks up, and I swear I made eye contact with him. Like, we had a moment. And he hit me.
I'm
like,
so sorry.
Like, I had enough time to realize he was going to hit me that I pushed really hard on my brake so I didn't hit the car in front of me.
And you probably tensed up like crazy.
Oh, yeah. It did not.
Which probably didn't help your whole neck issue now.
No. So he hit me. He didn't even stop. He hit. And my car was only 3 months old.
Yeah. So. And it's like plastic, too.
Yeah.
It's a nice car, but it's like plastic.
Yeah, it's just plastic. But the bumper and everything, all that mumbo jumbo, it's got to get replaced, isn't it?
Yeah, but you're getting a sweet deal out of it now.
Yeah, well, maybe.
Well, even maybe. Isn't that going to work out?
Oh, yeah, it'll work out. It should work out.
Should work out. Oh.
We'll see.
You were pretty confident, like, last week.
No, I think it will. I think confidence that's how to waning. Put the dual exhaust and, yeah. I'm a car guy, so I want to do the car stuff to it. And I'm going to try to do it at somebody else's expense because I'm awesome like that.
He's turning his car into a ricer.
No. It's not Japanese.
No.
It doesn't sound like that. Man, I'm going to punch you. And give you a whiplash.
It's American muscle, 4-cylinder, right?
Yeah. Hey, you got 3 kids. You got to do what you got to do.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's fast, man. I got a 4-cylinder.
Yeah.
It's turbo, though. I got turbo. That means I'm more turbo. Of a man. Although turbo doesn't really work very well. So.
He sometimes got boost.
Oh, geez. Yeah. That could go so many places.
Oh, man.
We'll just let that sit there.
So. But it's been fun. It's been busy. I'm glad to get back to the podcast, though, and catch up on that.
Yeah, sure. So we know that you've been, chomping at the bit to hear us talk again about random stuff. Although today was pretty focused.
Yeah, it was. It was actually really focused. Just got there to the end and try to fill people in.
Yeah.
So might keep it a little more focused on one topic, but we'll have 50 other topics to go ahead and jar that loose.
Oh, yeah.
In one 45-minute session.
Yeah.
It's good therapy.
Yeah. So, like, if you've enjoyed this, you should totally leave a rating or review.
Yeah.
On iTunes and Stitcher. And soon, we're going to be on Google Play.
That's right.
Google Play is doing podcasting very soon. They're actually accepting podcasts submissions to be on there. So, we're going to get the Spit Happens podcast on Google Play here soon. And that way you can listen to it on your Android device straight from Google Play rather than on, some other
app. I use Stitcher.
Yeah. So you'll have
I'm glad you said that, though, because I was going to make a little joke, but I'm not going to make the joke because I don't want to offend Google.
Oh, poor Google.
Yeah. Nah, I'll say it anyway. I don't care. Just say it's good to see that Google's finally getting with the times.
Yeah, isn't that
crazy? Who'd have thought that? Yeah, Google would be the one behind times. On podcasts.
We should, ask Google what took so long to get podcasting.
Yeah, Googie.
See what she says.
Googie? Is that what that is?
Googie.
Googie. That's a joke. That's a Tennessee youth trip joke. Android one.
Yeah, in case you're an iPhone user, that's our version of Siri, which she's not as cool as Siri, I don't think, but
it has a lot more information because it's Google.
Yeah, it's kind of Google stuff.
It's pretty awesome.
Like actually. No one Siri's anything; they Google stuff.
Yeah, you get to Google yourself.
Android all the way. Google. For now, anyway. For me. For now.
Yeah. Except for on this computer, that's a Mac.
Yeah. So Mac has a song about a MacBook.
Toby Mac has a Mac?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's good stuff.
Nice. All right. So it's been a rough weekend around the world, though. So I hope if you've listened to this, you've enjoyed yourself a little bit. I want to say one thing about the resiliency of human beings is the unity that happened, though, after. All the nations. Seeing one thing I thought was awesome, too, was a linebacker for the Army football team. So they run out. They've got their thing they do. They've always got the Army flag. They've got the American flag, and they run out, and they're holding it.
Yeah.
They ran also with a big French flag as they ran out of the tunnel onto the field. So there's been a lot of patriotism shown and a lot of support and backing, and that's good to see. So keep that in mind as you look at all these negative things. Look at those positives, because there are a lot of them. As we stick and we band together, good prevails. And if we can view that as followers of Jesus and take up our cross globally, like we show our patriotism, then just imagine what can be done.
Yeah, I read the end of the book, and we win. It's a pretty good ending. So that's encouraging. Despite all the craziness and the evil that happens today, in the end, we win. Take it to the bank.